Verse 17, short passage, three words, pray without ceasing. Communication. That's the key word for any good relationship. If a marriage relationship is not going well, it's often because husband and wife do not engage in good communication. If a parent-child relationship is not going well, it often means that parents are not communicating properly with their children, and children are not communicating well with their parents. If a friendship is on the rocks, and there's antagonism between two who were once friends, you can often trace it back to some miscommunication. Communication is essential to any relationship, and that would include our relationship with God. God has established a personal relationship with us through Jesus Christ. I ask then, how is your personal relationship with God? How is it going between you and your Lord in heaven? If you do not think it's going well, then it's probably because of a lack of good communication between you and God. If you think it's going well, but there isn't much communication, then you might think it's going well, but it really isn't. For essential to a good relationship with God is good communication. And of course, that means prayer. Your life, my life, the Christian's life must be a life of prayer. It must be a life in which we talk to God, in which we communicate to Him. Prayer is that means of communication, and without prayer, without that sort of communication that God has given us, then that personal relationship with Him isn't experienced very well. On this prayer day set by our churches, we come to be exhorted, we come to be encouraged, we come to be urged even in our life of prayer. Our life of prayer. Because prayer day is not one day in which we pray and then we leave the rest until the next prayer day to pray. But prayer day, one purpose for it is to exhort us to pray and encourage us to continue praying throughout the year as we wait upon God. It is to help us pray, as our text says, without ceasing. To nurture us in that unceasing prayer that we all find it difficult to do. Yes, prayer day is set aside as a day to pray, especially for our material things, for our crops. That is historically what this day was set aside for. At the beginning of the spring season, we do ask the Lord to supply our material things, especially for the crops to grow. But that's not the only reason for prayer day. There are many more things to pray about. And we use this prayer day not only to pray for crops, but we use this prayer day to ask the Lord to help us pray better, to grow us in our life of communicating with Him, to improve unceasing prayer. Consider that with me tonight, unceasing prayer. First, the meaning, what it means. Second, how to do it, some practical ways of how we can improve in this unceasing prayer. And then finally, how it profits us. What it means, unceasing prayer, how to do it, and then finally, how it profits us. The text is a simple text. Pray without ceasing. That short verse, made up of three words in the English, and really only two words in the original Greek language, stands out to us when we read this passage, because, first of all, of its brevity. It's so short. And short clip sentences like that tend to stick out to us. Not only is it short, and that's why it stands out to us, but also because of its demanding nature. We read that. Pray without ceasing. And that's a command, and it's quite a command. We have a tough enough time praying, but now the Lord says, pray without ceasing. We have to understand what this means. In order to do that, let's first refresh our memories on what prayer is, and then talk about that difficult adverb, without ceasing, or unceasingly. What is prayer? A simple definition of prayer is communication with God in His presence. Communicating with God in His presence. Start with in His presence. Prayer is first of all realizing and being very conscious in our hearts and minds that we are in the holy presence of God Himself. Scripture, especially the Psalms, when talking about prayer, speaks of it as seeking His face. So we started out with the call to worship. Seek Him. Seek His face. Praying is to come before the face of God. No, we aren't to picture His face, because that would be making an image of Him. But we are to be thinking about coming before the very face of God in His very personal presence. To pray is to remember and to consciously think about the omnipresent God now looking with His eyes directly at me and His ears open to my cry. Is that how you pray? Is that what your prayer is like? Prayer, you see, is not some words that are simply thrown up in the air. Perhaps in our day of much communication, we might think of prayer as an email or a text message or something that impersonally goes up, or a voicemail or a phone call. That's not the idea of prayer. It's not detached. It's not impersonal like that. It's very, very personal. It is the turning of our believing hearts, and with our eyes of faith, looking directly at God in His face. Seeing Him beside us and talking to Him. Essential to prayer is being conscious of God's close presence. And then as we are in that conscious realization of His presence, we communicate with Him. Prayer is not silence, but it's speaking to God. As you talk to Him, you pray, you form words, you form clear, understandable sentences, and you pray. As feelings sometimes, which can't be put into words, come forth, and we cry, and we groan, and we make sounds of anguish or triumphant shouts of joy, that too is prayer. As we are conscious of His close presence, we can express to Him thoughts and ideas and feelings. But you and I know that the best kind of communication is when we speak, when we actually form words and not simply feelings toward God in His presence. So with God, as we are in His presence, we communicate to Him sometimes with tears and smiles, but often with words that we speak. That's prayer. You know that. What kinds of things do we communicate? Again, to refresh our memories. What sorts of prayers? What's the content that we're supposed to have? In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, the word that is in our text for prayer is the most general word in the Scripture for prayer. Sometimes the Scripture will speak of prayer as supplications or thanksgivings. Or confessions. And those are all different kinds of prayer, but they're more specific kinds of prayer. But in our text, God says, pray. With the most general word for prayer. And that means, use all kinds of prayers. Just do it. Pray. Come into my presence. And communicate with me. Yes, supplicate. It means bring our requests, make petitions, ask of Him. But you know that prayer is not only made up of requests. I hope we don't think of God as some sort of Santa in heaven, simply waiting for our requests to come to fulfill them as our wish lists. It's not all our prayers are, simply asking Him for things. But prayer is more than that. The acronym ACTS usually helps us. A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, then supplications as well. Those four categories are biblical kinds of prayers. Praise or adoration, praising God for who He is, confession of our sins, thanksgiving for all He's done, His works toward us, and asking of Him to supply our daily needs. We're to pray in these ways, and yes, that's God's command. That's the text. It's not talking about prayer. It's giving a command to us to do it. You all, you must pray, God is saying. And sometimes we say, but I don't feel like it. I'm not good at it. I don't know what to say. I'm not going to do it from my heart anyway, so should I? And God says, are you a child of God? Then pray. Why? You're not always going to feel like it. But do it simply because I say so. It's a command. Pray. It's a privilege too, of course. We should see that and understand it. It's a gift. We don't always feel like it. We don't always think of it as a privilege. We see it more as a chore sometimes. And yes, even in those times, God says, pray. You must pray. Pray without ceasing. As if prayer is not difficult enough for us to do, God commands us, do it without stopping. What does that mean? Unceasingly, without stopping. First, let's make sure we understand what this text does not mean. Two simple, brief ways. First, God is not calling us to formally or outwardly pray without stopping. Not formally or outwardly pray without stopping. He can't mean that because that is simply foolish. Imagine yourself walking around town with your hands folded and eyes closed the whole time, 24/7. That's not the idea of the text. That would mean then that we would have to neglect the many other callings and duties that we have in our life to engage in this formal outward prayer without stopping. That's not the idea of the text. This was the idea of the monks, the hermits in the Middle Ages mostly, and even some today who tried to pray formally without ceasing. And as they lived in seclusion, as they lived away from people, trying to get rid of every distraction so they could focus on prayer, they failed. There were times when they stopped praying formally as well. So the text is not calling us to pray formally without ceasing. Secondly, however, this text is not teaching us to pray sporadically either. Sometimes when we think about what the text is not saying, we tend to go to the other extreme. We say, since this text is not calling us to pray formally without saying, that means we can pray, you know, here and there, once in a while, but not very much. Unceasingly doesn't mean much, as long as I pray once in a while. And that's not what the text is saying either. Paul is not saying pray sporadically. We must take God's command very seriously. Unceasingly does mean unstoppingly. Without a moment that you're not doing it. It literally means nonstop. So what does it mean? Positively then, 3 points. First and most importantly, it means that we are in the spirit of prayer. We are in the spirit of prayer without ceasing. Now we're not talking about formal prayer. We're not talking about the closing of eyes and folding our hands. But we're talking about that idea of prayer where we are conscious of God's close presence. That without ceasing. Think back to that definition of prayer that we started out with. It's communicating with God in His presence. It's about thinking with our faith about God's face right beside us, watching us in everything that we do. We are to be conscious of His close presence, of His face, unceasingly. It's a constant consciousness of His presence. You're commanded to be in that spirit of prayer. And not for 1 second stopping. To illustrate, we can think of someone with a video camera who has that video camera aimed directly at you. And that video camera is constantly recording and following you wherever you go. And the video camera picks up every sound that you make. So that as you go home, as you go to work, as you come to church, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, that video camera is keeping each and every action. You are to live thinking about God recording your every action of your life. And more than that, He's also looking into your very thoughts, into your very heart. And we are to live now remembering, being conscious of that perceptive eye of God. To pray without ceasing is to be constantly conscious of that close presence. Secondly, praying without ceasing means frequent, spontaneous prayers. So that while we are unceasingly conscious of God's presence, we are then also continually speaking prayers to God. Wherever we are, frequently we are looking up, frequently we're bowing, frequently our mouth is moving, frequently we are communicating from our hearts with thoughts toward God. As you live conscious of His presence, sentences, phrases, one word cries of help are constantly going up to God. As you drive in your car, as you care for your children, as you work hard, as you begin a project, as you take a break, as you live your life every second, night and day, those phrases, those words are spontaneously and frequently rising to the throne of God. That means you aren't formally folding your hands and closing your eyes throughout the day. And you don't even have to do that. You're simply talking to Him as He was, as He is, your friend, beside you, holding your hand throughout your life. Pray without ceasing is a continual consciousness of His presence. Also a frequent, spontaneous prayers upward. And thirdly, it also means having regular set times of formal prayer. Oh yes, this is included too. We're not 24/7 having our eyes closed and hands folded and concentrating on speaking those set full sentences and paragraphs to God. Not 24/7, but we are doing that regularly, again and again. Going into our closet, we're meditating and being in His close presence and speaking to Him. In church, we're doing that formally. Before we eat, at meal times, we're doing so. Pushing out the distractions of work, trying to block out of our minds the busyness and the fast-paced life that we're engaged in, trying to get rid of the pictures and the entertainments that so easily press in upon our hearts and minds, and we are focusing on God alone and speaking to Him intimately. Well, if we do not do this, if we're not regularly taking the habit of being in those quiet moments of prayer, then we're not going to be able to pray spontaneously. And we're not going to be able to be constantly conscious of His presence. We're forgetful people. We're weak people. And we forget His presence. We forget to pray and cry for help and give thanks to Him. So how do we remind ourselves? How do we refresh our memories of His close presence while we take those regular times to refocus and think about how He is going to go through with us through this day? It starts with our quiet time. It starts with our closets. It starts with those personal devotions. And from those quiet, precious moments, there thus flow spontaneous prayers and that unceasing spirit of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Remember, that's a command. It's a command to all of us. It's not merely a command to the holy people in the church, to that small section of the most godly in our midst. That's not the idea. It's not a command merely to office bearers, and that you get simply from looking at the book of the Bible we're in. Notice we're not in 1st and 2nd Timothy. If we were in 1st and 2nd Timothy, perhaps you may be able to argue that God is simply calling individual ministers like Timothy to pray without ceasing. But that's not the book of the Bible we're in. We're in Thessalonians. We're in a book, a letter that has been written to a whole church. And the command is, you all of you, pray without ceasing. Verse 27 of the chapter says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. That is all the people in the church. He commands us all, old and young, adults and children, young people, mature and immature, confessing members and non-confessing members, we are all commanded to make the effort, to work hard, and pray without ceasing. How do we do this? Any practical advice, you ask, to engage in this difficult activity? 3 points of practical advice from Scripture. 3 ways to help us improve in our unceasing prayer. There are many more pieces of advice you can find in God's Word, but 3 ways especially that we can consider tonight. And 1 way is something we've already talked about or mentioned, and that is to remember, we must remember that there are many kinds of prayers, many kinds of prayers we can engage in. We're not going to run out with prayers if we remember that there are many kinds of prayers. There's so much to pray about. Yes, there are supplications and requests. That's what we mostly think about when we think of prayer. Again and again, we come up against situations in our life that we know we can't handle on our own. We feel our weakness. We know that God is strong. And so cries of help go up to God for energy, for contentment, for comfort when we're emotionally down, for help to make the decisions that we have to make. Yes, that's one kind of prayer, but only one kind. Was remember too that there's also thanksgiving. In fact, verse 18, immediately after our text, points to that as one of the main things we ought to be engaging in our prayer, thanking God. God is saying, how can you pray without ceasing? Well, in everything, give thanks. There are millions, there are billions of things to give thanks for. We will never run out of prayers to God if we concentrate, if we focus on giving thanks. In everything, give thanks, the text says. Yes, even in our hardships, in our afflictions, in our trials and sicknesses and death, in everything. No, God's not saying for everything give thanks. That's not the preposition there. We're not called to give thanks for the enemy of death or for sin and for other evils that might come upon us in our life. That's not the idea. But in them, as we go through life, going through, suffering these evils, we are giving thanks to God. There's always something we can think about. We can at least think about the promises that God gives to us as we go through those hardships. That promise that He is doing all these things in love for us through Jesus Christ, for our good in everything. We give thanks. Remember that prayer is more than requesting. It's thanking, but it's more than that as well. Not just requesting, not just thanking, but it's confessing. Confessing our sins. Now, if we don't know what to pray for, if we've somehow run out of requests and run out of things to be thankful for, I don't think we can run out of sins to be sorry for. Because there's so many sins we've committed in our lives. So many specific sins that we've neglected to say sorry for. If we only put the effort into focusing on confession of sins, we would be making great leaps and bounds in praying without ceasing. Requesting, thanking, and confessing, and then there's praising. Praising God. Praising entails not just noticing what God is doing for you, but noticing how God is revealing or showing His beauty and glory around us. And so in the season, as we see the seasons changing, as we see the snow comes, and then in a few weeks, we see the snow melt. And we see the sunshine. And we feel the warmth of the weather. And we see the animals around us. We see the glory of God. And we have many more prayers of praise to give to Him. With all the events in our life, with every circumstance, with His works of providence, we see God revealing His glory. In many ways He shows His glory. We just need to notice it. And we have many more prayers then to give to Him. One very practical point, if we were just to think about and remember all the different kinds of prayers we can make, we would have more constant, unceasing prayer. Second practical way to do this more is to do more listening. To do more listening to God. You and I want to communicate. To communicate with God more unceasingly. But if we aren't listening to what God is saying to us, then we're not going to have much to say back to Him. Think about what good communication involves. I started out with that in the introduction. Good communication. Good communication does not merely involve us talking. Good communication involves us listening. Very carefully remembering what the other person is saying to us. You and I have all had conversations with someone else who doesn't know how to listen. And we stand there, and he's either talking to us, not wanting to hear anything we say, or as we are talking to him, that person is distracted, thinking about all kinds of other things, not listening. And we know that the conversation, such a conversation, is not enjoyable for us at all. And it usually ends pretty abruptly when the person that we're talking to is done talking. That one-way conversation doesn't work very well. It's not good communication. That's the same with our relationship with God. If we aren't listening to Him before we start talking to Him, then we're not going to have anything worthwhile to respond with. And to put it bluntly, our prayers to Him just aren't enjoyable. Just as we might not enjoy another person not listening to us in our conversation with them. As you strive to pray more unceasingly, don't simply open your mouths, but open your ears. Hear Him. And let Him govern the conversation. What is He saying to us? He speaks to us in church. Listen. He speaks to us in the reading of the Scriptures. When we sit down in our quiet times and open those words and read, He's speaking to us. Don't just read, listen. He speaks when you look around you at the creation and the works of providence that He does. Listen. He speaks through your parents, children. Listen. Listen carefully. Through all kinds of events in our lives, are we listening to what God is saying to us in very clear words? I wonder sometimes if we're bad at prayer, if I'm bad at prayer because I'm not listening to Him. And the times that I struggle with speaking to God in prayer is because I haven't first listened to Him. Because prayer is not only about making conversation with Him, but it's about having Him make conversation with us and realizing what He is saying. And we can't sit still and pay attention for more than 10 minutes to a sermon or to the reading of the Scriptures. If we can't do that, then we can't expect to talk to Him. In our day and age, we have so many other people communicating to us, so many other things to listen to, texts, TVs, emails, social media, tweets, and we can't even hear God's thundering voice because we're so bombarded with the communication that's coming in our direction other than God's communication with us. The noise of the music, the noise of the traffic, and the noise that we make up in our minds drowns out the voice of God. And maybe it's time for us to cut back on those noises, to cut back on those distractions, to make some rules for ourselves, to quit certain habits so that we can hear a little bit about what God is saying. Because our ability to speak to Him depends and our ability to listen to Him. First, practically, we're to remember the different kinds of prayers we could pray. Second, to listen carefully to God speaking to us. And third, connected to the previous point, absorb in our minds and hearts the godly prayers of others. Absorb into our minds the godly prayers of others around us. Often you and I don't know what to say, what to pray. We have feelings stirring up within us. We have hardships in our life. We know we should be thanking God, but we don't know what to say. Our minds aren't clear enough. We're tired. We're sleepy. We have feelings that make us shift here and there, back and forth, and we don't know what to tell God. So we need help with words. We need someone to lead us in prayer, someone to tell us what to say. God has given us a book of prayers. Read the Bible and search the Scriptures, and you will find so many prayers that God has written down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Why? Why are the Psalms, almost all of them, prayers? Why does God record prayers of the prophets, of Hezekiah, of Daniel, of Nehemiah, of Isaiah, of Jesus Christ Himself? Why so many prayers? Maybe because we need to learn them. Get those words implanted in our minds. Memorize them. Sing them. Instill them in our hearts. So that as we go through our lives, those prayers will come forth in our memories. And we have something to say. Some words to speak. God helps us by giving us those very words to speak in prayer. We just need to learn them. And there are plenty of prayers in the Bible to make our own, but there are also many godly people around us whom the Spirit works in, too. Very practically, listen to the people pray at Bible study. Perhaps we should have a prayer meeting. Listen carefully to ministers pray. Children, listen carefully to your parents pray. Think about what they're saying. And make their prayers yours. Read Spurgeon's prayers. Read the prayers of the Puritans. They're not hard to find. Find the prayers that you know godly men and women, sound, doctrinally sound Christians write. And get those phrases. Get those petitions. Get those thanks. Get those praises. And get them in your heart. And if we're not good at memorizing, write them down. That's one way to get them into our hearts. Write them down. Copy them. There are no copyrights in many of these prayers. Don't claim them to be yours, but paraphrase them, adjust them, make them fit your situations so that you can learn how to pray. And as you have those words in your hearts, in your minds, they're going to come forth more unceasingly in your life. Three practical ways, there are more, but three practical ways for praying more unceasingly. Remember the different kinds of prayer. Listen to God more. And take to heart the prayers that you already have around you. But that's work. It's hard work. To put into practice these practical points, to make an effort at praying more unceasingly, more constantly, it's work, but it's profitable work. The Scriptures give many prophets. Again, I can name many, but I'll list three. As we pray unceasingly, God works His grace and Holy Spirit more in our hearts. That's the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45. God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask Him of Him. What Christian does not want the Holy Spirit to work in him or her more? What Christian does not want the grace of God to be poured into his soul? What Christian doesn't want his faith to be strengthened? Pray. Pray more. Pray unceasingly. And the prophet is, God will reward with His grace and Spirit. Second, unceasing prayer aids us in our battle against sin. Verse 15 speaks of that, seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That's one of the commands listed here in 1 Thessalonians, to do good and not evil. How? Verse 17, our text gives the main direction. Pray without ceasing. Think about that. As we are conscious of His presence beside us, wherever we go, whatever we do, as we are making those constant requests to God, and petitions, and thanks, and praise, and confessions, that is like a shield against sin. How can we sin if we have in our mind God's constant presence, holy as He is? Will we sin if we're praying to God and asking Him to help us not to? And will we continue in sin if we're constantly making confessions to God? for our sins. God uses this prayer to help us in our battle against sin. That's the great profit of unceasing prayer. And finally, unceasing prayer profits us with ongoing joy. This especially is what Paul and the Spirit emphasizes in the text. Verse 16, the immediate preceding passage. Rejoice evermore is a command. Be happy. Be joyful, God says to the Thessalonians. How? Pray without ceasing. As we think about His constant presence, as we make petitions to Him as we would a friend, as we regularly set times of prayer, His presence is our joy. That relationship that we're building is our joy. What greater thing do we have in our life than that? Living this life of prayer and constant communion with Him affects us with much rejoicing. Unceasing prayer brings unceasing joy. That's the promise of God's Word. May God grant you His grace. May God grant you His Spirit so that you may do better, so that we may do better in obeying this command to pray without ceasing. Begin with those regular set times. Live then in constant consciousness of His presence and frequently and spontaneously speak to Him, adoring, thanking, confessing, and supplicating as you listen to Him. And unceasing prayer brings unceasing joy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, enable us to do what Thou hast commanded.